All right, Tuesdays at 9 o'clock usually means we talk to Neil Walker, and Neil's brought to us by Mike Camlin Hyundai, home of the Mike Camlin Advantage Oil Changes for Life. Neil, also brought to you by Goodrich & Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich & Geist. Unfortunately, today, it does not look like we will have Neil Walker. So he texted me a couple of minutes ago, and he said, "Forgot to connect with you. I'm out in Phoenix with the Buccos. If you want to chat this week, let me know." So I said, "Oh, snap. Can you do a segment in 5 minutes?
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap." Is that a white guy thing?
No, oh, snap. It's just an old thing.
Just lame?
Like when we were in high school.
We used to say that someone was hot whenever they were physically attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still do that these days?
Yeah.
They still use hot?
I think so.
I was thinking about that over the weekend. I can't remember why.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if the young kids say. I think they use a different word.
Something else.
Yeah.
Because back in our heyday, it was, oh, so-and-so is hot. Mm-hmm. And my parents would always be like, hot's a temperature. So clearly they weren't saying it. I don't know. I don't keep up with the kids' lingo these days.
Yeah.
We'll reconnect with Neil. We'll get him on at some point during the week. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I was thinking about you this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
I was.
Oh, nice.
We, as a family, there's like a dozen of us over at my in-law's place, and we took a selfie of all of us, mm-hmm. right? My uncle is 6'4", he has long arms, he took the selfie, and when he finished up, we all clapped. And it hit me, like, I think we do this, man. And I don't know if it's a white dude thing or if it's just this goofy thing that we do, but he took the selfie and all of us went, yeah. Like he landed a plane or something. Like, it ain't that hard. You just click a red button. The hell are we doing?
We clap,
dude. As if it were some kind of accomplishment. And I guess it is to get 12 people to look at a camera, especially when you got the kids there. But my God, it wasn't like a prolonged experience. It took 37 seconds.
I mean, you got to think about how many times your uncle has taken a selfie. Like, not many, probably. And it was like, yeah, I actually did this new age thing that's been around for 15 years.
But then I brought it up and nobody recognized that they clapped. I said, why did we just clap? And we didn't clap. I'm like, yes, we did. Like, we want to give Uncle Mike a gold star? What the hell are we doing here? All right, so no, Neil. We'll move on to ESPN's Benjamin Solik, who does a lot of financial breakdown stuff. He writes, "I'm not ringing any alarm bells, but I find it interesting that TJ Watt is in the final year of his deal with pretty much no smoke about an upcoming extension. I find this doubly interesting when you consider that he is 31, coming off his worst season as a pro. I find it triply interesting that Watt has never won a playoff game with the Steelers, who may be approaching a massive organizational overhaul if Coach Mike Tomlin cannot figure out the quarterback position. Just a thought." I understand why a national observer might feel that way. None of that raises alarm bells for me whatsoever. This happens all the time. This happened with Watt. Watt was a hold in. He was observing training camp, and then he eventually got a contract. I would be flabbergasted, blown away, if nothing happens with TJ Watt. By the time the season kicks off against the New York Football Jets, TJ Watt will be one of, if not the highest paid defensive players in all of football. Now, whether or not he should be, I guess would be the question, but he will be. Also, there might be a massive organizational overhaul if Coach Mike Tomlin cannot figure out the quarterback position. That's not true. Mike Tomlin's going to be the head coach for the next 3 years at the very least. So I'll read that, and I can understand why people nationally would view it as a weird kind of distraction situation with Pittsburgh. I just don't think any of that stuff is, you know, alarm ringing here.
So you say that he will be one of, if not the highest paid defensive ends or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, what if they try to lowball him, though? Like, what if they don't try to make him the highest paid? What if he is the second or third? Like, do you think... I don't think that TJ accepts that.
I think he's going to want to be average annual value, the highest paid defensive player in football. And I think they'll probably manipulate the numbers to make it work out that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not smart enough with the cap stuff to tell you exactly what it's going to look like, but when we've talked to Caboli and Fittipaldo, they seem to feel the same way. I think it's much ado about nothing. Now, should they have traded him at some point in the offseason? I think it's a reasonable conversation.
Or gotten it done sooner?
Well, that too.
Like that's kind of like get it done before everybody else does.
That's the problem.
Right.
They still, while they've evolved and they do things differently now in some regards, they still do this old school, we're going to wait till the last minute to get the deal done thing. And in the instance of TJ Watt, it's going to hurt them. When you look at Max Crosby, when you look at Myles Garrett, you could be looking at Micah Parsons. Yeah, it's going to hurt them.
Yeah.
And it didn't need to be that way. You could have just done it first thing in the offseason. I don't really understand why they operate the way that they do. And really, they still don't negotiate contracts in season, which is also an antiquated way of doing business. Like, okay, so what if you can't find something, some middle ground with TJ Watt before the season starts? Well, you just...
Yeah, what happened to that?
Well,
yeah.
Was he going to hold out? Like, how does that happen? How does that work? I don't think we get to that point, but they should probably move on that too. Like with Le'Veon Bell, they wound up losing him because they didn't want to pay him guaranteed money. Now they give everybody guaranteed money. So They've kept up with the Joneses that way. It's just a weird thing here with Watt.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, we haven't heard anything around it either. Like not even like ramp ups. Oh, talks are starting to ramp back up. Like you'd think that they would want to get a, you know, at least talking to see what he's thinking or vice versa.
I think it'll be a raging talking point these next couple of days because it's one of the newsy items. And if Watt's not there, all the beat writers are going to write about it. And Alex Highsmith's going to get asked about it. And the kid from Ohio State's going to get a little bit of playing time and he's going to look good, right? Everyone's going to write that. But I don't think it becomes interesting until we get to training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I can't get that worked up about it. Because they always seem to get it done. Friggin' Paul Amala was getting on a plane.
Yeah, but they get it done whenever like whenever there's not anyone else getting done at that position, like I feel. Like I can't remember the last time that there was multiple guys at that position that have reset the market.
Right.
And he's the last one. Like I don't know if they've ever been in that situation with a player that they want to give a contract to.
Well, do you agree with me on this that, I mean, at 31 years old, I don't think he deserves to be the highest paid defensive player in football.
I don't either. That's why I would have got ahead of it.
Right.
If I knew, like, you're gauging not just the Steelers, whenever you're in the front office, you're gauging what the market is around the league and who's up for contracts. You knew that Myles Garrett was speaking up. You knew that something was going to get done there, whether it was here or somewhere else. Like, you got to get ahead of that. It's like, oh, he's going to reset it. Like, no, like, absolutely. Max Crosby's going to reset it after that. So let's get ahead of this. So, he is the first. We could say he's the first, and we got him out of the way, and we showed that we cared.
And it's not going to affect this year's cap one way or the other, so It has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. You're right. They've totally screwed the pooch on this thing.
Yeah.
In multiple ways, if you want him traded. And people are texting in now, Crowley, you don't want the Pirates to trade Skeens, but you want the Steelers to trade TJ Watt. They're not the same thing. TJ Watt is 31 years old, and each of the last 2 years got injured down the stretch. Paul Skeens turns 23 in 2 days. They're apples to meatloaf. They're not the same at all. The Steelers aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year. They're probably not going to win it next year because no rookie quarterback has ever won a Super Bowl. I just don't know why you'd pay this guy $40+ million whenever you're paying him for what he's done, not what he's going to do. And that's not to say he's not going to be good, but is he going to have 19 sacks in a season ever again? Probably not. His brother aged like milk, and they're different players at different positions, but it's something that's always been in the back of my mind. When JJ turned 28, from that point forward, he was oft injured and far less productive. And when TJ Watt, his last two seasons, good years until they weren't. Watt missed the Buffalo playoff game. Last year down the stretch, what was it, his last six games, Watt didn't register a sack or something like that? And I think injuries had more to do with that than anything else because he was having a great year before he got hurt. But you have to factor in injuries at this age.
I think the Browns messed it up more than the Steelers are messing it up, though. I mean, in the Browns' case, like I would have traded Myles Garrett, got a haul back for him, and then drafted Abdul Carter to replace him and then had all kinds of picks for this year and next year.
Yeah, it makes zero sense that Myles Garrett's a Brown.
Zero.
And back to the Steelers here, I don't think there's a bad guy here. If I'm Watt, I want to be the highest paid defensive player in football.
That's what.
But if I'm the Steelers, I say, TJ, you're 31 and all the things that I just laid out. So you can see why they'd be at something of an impasse. I don't think there necessarily has to be a bad guy. Walt wants to be paid as the best because he views himself as the best. And I think the Myles Garrett thing hurts him.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what the Deuces was all about. When he posted that Instagram photo, it would hurt me because I hate that guy so much. And that guy doesn't like you. And that guy, after the last game that you two played against each other, he came out saying how he was the best in football. You want to make, if only a cent more than him, you want to make a cent more than him.
And you saw the way that he did it to get his money. And you're really not wired that way. So it's like, well, maybe let me try something different. Let me put out a picture.
The closest thing he could come to what Myles Garrett did was just putting out a bizarre Instagram post.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess I should say it's interesting to monitor to see if he ultimately gets what he wants here. And what he wants here, you would imagine, is to be the highest paid defensive player in football.
I mean, is it crazy for us to think that they are preparing for TJ Watt to not be here by drafting the kid out of Ohio State, Jack Sawyer? Or is that too late of a draft pick to send a message? Like, were they sending a message there? Because that pick to me was totally out of nowhere.
It seemed like a luxury pick at a position where if you had to pick one position on the team where you feel pretty darn good about the depth, it's outside backer, isn't it?
Right. Like, I'd have picked another D lineman. I'd have picked, you know, and then Y.A. Black in the fifth. Like, I'd have picked even another one in the fourth. But they pick a rush end, like, that's kind of just a clone of TJ almost, a lesser TJ.
And I think he's going to be a special teams demon, and I like to pick best player available kind of thing, right? But, yeah, I mean, it did perk my ears up a little bit.
I don't want to read into it too much, but, like,
it was just
very odd to me. The timing.
So I'll look at the Benjamin Solak thing, and I'll tell you, like, I mean, I think ultimately it's all going to get done. And I will absolutely disagree that there's a big organizational shift coming. But who is going to get what they want? Is it going to be Omar Khan, or is it going to be TJ Watt? And I'd have traded him in the offseason, man. And Mackey asked on Twitter the other day before doing a Sunday show, what has gotten into us? We're talking about trading Sidney Crosby to the Avalanche, talking about trading Paul Skeens, talking about trading TJ Watt. What has happened? What's happened is these teams stink, or they're not living up to the expectations that we're used to. The Steelers don't flat out stink. They've won 10 games last year and the year before, and they've gone to the playoffs, but compared to what we're used to, not very good.
Mm-mm.
Penguins have missed the playoffs 3 years in a row, and the Pirates are pirating. I don't think it's that big of a mystery. All due respect, Jason, and we love you. 412-928-9370 is the phone number. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. The Athletic just put out a piece about one of the biggest blockbuster trades in Major League Baseball history. A lot of people have used that trade to say that the Pirates should trade Skeens. I'm going to go over what The Athletic wrote as a reason why it doesn't make much sense to get rid of Mr. Skeens. 2 days before his birthday, too. He could be 23.
23, wow.
My God, does that guy have the world by the balls?
Yep.
No Neil Walker means we're talking about weird stuff. Like, what do kids say when they're referring to someone who's hot these days? Would you say they're bussing?
Bussing. Somebody messaged me and said that kids say that a girl's bussing.
Really?
I've heard that before.
Are you screwing with me?
No, I mean, that's serious. I've heard that before, and that was the word I was thinking of, but I just couldn't think of it. Bussing.
We got to get Kale in here and ask him.
Yeah, Kale or Tenuta.
Yeah, because they're young. Callis is young, but he's an old soul.
Right.
What?
He's playing Coob.
That's an old game. That's ancient old. They used to play with actual
phones.
Exactly.
That would be the point.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm old. Oh, my God, I'm old. You guys are right.
When you're talking about someone of the opposite sex and you're saying that they're attractive, how would you describe them?
Well, hello there, beautiful.
No, how would you describe them to your friend? Locker room talk.
That lady's attractive over there.
All right, very good. Thanks for all the help. How old are you, 25?
26.
Dear God. Texture, the That's kids right. call someone who is hot a snack, and if they're really hot, they're a whole snack.
Drop a dime? She's a dime piece.
That's older.
This guy is the oldest 26-year-old I've ever seen.
She's attractive.
I find her to be aesthetically pleasing to the eye.
No cap.
Texter, kids use the term baddie.
Baddie, too. You've heard that.
Caked up.
Yep.
I got to be careful here. People could slide anything in here.
Let me vet that. Let me vet them first.
Yeah, I could say anything over here and wind up never doing a show again. Social media's biggest loser, us. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. So as I was perusing the interwebs this morning to make the show sound even older, there's a piece on The Athletic talking about the Juan Soto trade from the Washington Nationals to the San Diego Padres. And basically what the piece says, because now Twitter's failing again. Have you noticed? Twitter's been a damn disaster.
All the time.
It's a disaster. I can't get into my likes.
Yep.
I was trying to quote tweet something that Mulsey put out there. Couldn't do that because the last tweet that it says Mulsey sent out was like from 6 years ago. The whole thing's a disaster. Anyway, so this piece in The Athletic talking about the Juan Soto trade. And that's one that a lot of people have referenced for the Pirates. If you're going to trade Skeens, you got to get a Soto-like return. And the point being in this national piece in The Athletic is, what has that actually yielded the Washington Nationals? So yeah, a lot of good pieces came back. Washington is sitting there at 24-29, 10 games out of first place in the National League East. And it's because they haven't developed anybody around that return, and they haven't spent the money around that return. The Washington Nationals are 6.5 games out of a wild card spot. Now, the Pirates are 12.5 back, so the Nationals are in a better position than Pittsburgh, but what I'm saying is that's how I've been viewing this.
Well, how have they done the last couple years? Because it's been, what, 3 years since Soto got traded?
They've actually gotten better over time.
They have, but they're still bad, and that's my whole thing. Like,
you said 24-29?
Yeah.
Is it that bad?
I mean, 6.5 out of a playoff spot. If you're trading Skeens, it needs to be one of the great returns in the history of Major League Baseball, and it needs to make the Pirates a contender, like, right away.
Well, I think that you need to get players, like, legit players that are very good now, you know, if you can. If you
right.
Get, like, you have to get one or two players that will go immediately first day into your lineup in order to get the return that you think is necessary for Skeens.
And I see what the Nationals got: C.J. Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, James Wood, Robert Hassel, guys whose name that I can't pronounce. They got good players, and a lot of them have panned out, but the team success hasn't fallen.
Right.
And so if the Pirates could lose with Skeens or lose without Skeens, I would rather lose with Skeens, because at least I'd have Skeens and I'd get to watch him every fifth day. I have no faith that if Ben Cherington would trade Paul Skeens, that they would get anything of substance in return. And even if you do, as Washington did in the Juan Soto deal, it doesn't lead to the promised land, necessarily.
I think your scenario, though, is unlikely. I mean, how often do you ever see established player for established player mega deal like that?
Well, we have never seen a player as good as Skeens get traded this early into his deal.
Right.
And it's not going to happen. The Pirates have already dismissed it. Paul Skeens has more or less said he wants to be here for the quote-unquote long haul. But, you know, Soto was how old at the time of the trade? I mean, he was real young.
He was 21? No, he was 24.
So Skeens about to turn 23. I mean, I see why people have referenced it, but my point is it leads to nothing. I mean, it could, but I wouldn't have a lot of faith in Ben Cherington pulling off a deal that would turn these Pirates around.
Only reason quickly. Why I think it could more than the Nationals is because of the pitching depth that they do have. Like, I don't know the Nationals situation, but whenever they did trade Soto, I can't imagine that the Nationals had the pitchers that the Pirates have.
Right, and so you've got, if you traded Skeens, you've got
players.
Yeah.
Instead of, and you already have the pitching somewhat figured out.
That's true. Bubba Chandler, number two prospect in all of baseball. Mitch Keller, right now Andrew Heaney.
Jared Jones,
who could be back by this time next year.
Mm-hmm.
We thought he'd be out for 2 full years because of the Tommy John. He's not getting Tommy John. Texter, they call them naughty. All right. I'm not reading any more of these. I want to get back to that TJ Watt conversation, though, that we were having in the last segment at 412-928-9370. I said I understand TJ's perspective on why he would want to be the highest paid defensive player in football. I also understand why the Steelers would say, I don't know about going there. What do Steelers fans think? Like, do they think that TJ Watt deserves to be the highest paid defensive player in the sport at 412-928-9370?
I don't think so.
I don't think I would have paid. In fact, I know I wouldn't have paid Myles Garrett that amount of money. Now, Myles is slightly younger than TJ Watt, but I don't love just as a philosophy paying guys for what they've done when I think what they're about to yield is going to be lesser than that. And I think that's exactly where we are with TJ Watt. Like, he had 11.5 sacks last year, got hurt at the end, played all 17 games, but we've watched this guy enough. He didn't look like the same guy down the stretch. I can't make that guy the highest paid defensive player in football. For what? To win what?
Nothing.
You ain't won with him. And people could say, Crowley, you just said you could win with him, you can't win without him with Paul Skeens. Yeah, the difference is, I think if you can get something in return for Watt that can help you get your quarterback of the future, then shouldn't that be the be-all, end-all? Like, in the analogy, Skeens kind of would be their quarterback for the now and the future.
Exactly, yeah.
Because I look at frontline starting pitching as maybe the most important thing in Major League Baseball. Like, you get into a short series, and you've got Skeens going a couple of times in a seven-game series, I don't care if you're playing the Dodgers, you're going to have a shot. In the NFL, you don't have a shot unless you have your quarterback. Could TJ Watt getting traded out of here yield you a potential quarterback of the future? Yeah. And so I'd have traded him a month ago, 2 months ago. I'd have traded him before the draft. What say you, 412-928-9370? People are texting in that bussin is for good food.
That too. Heard that.
It's for both.
Mm-hmm.
Does TJ Watt deserve to be the highest paid defensive player in football? 412-928-9370. Here's a good text. I wouldn't trust the Browns to set the market value for players. Right. It's them and the Cowboys, man. Like, wait until we see what's going on with Parsons. And the Steelers knew this whole offseason that the Browns were going to be in a position where they could either pay Myles Garrett and reset the market, or they trade him and someone else was going to reset the market. And we all know that Dallas is hanging out there, and Dallas went above and beyond to pay Dak Prescott. So the Steelers, if they wind up paying Watt more than anybody else, they've got only themselves to blame because they waited around.
Mm-hmm.
Should the Steelers make TJ Watt the highest paid defensive player in football? 412-928-9370. Had a bunch of callers. They all dropped off, and I'm not sure it's his fault, but I'm blaming Nicholas Harry Callis for that. What did you do to these people, Harry?
You asked too much of me, I think.
Yeah. Just for you to do your job, that's all.
It's too much.
Yeah. Texter, for the same reason you hesitate to pay TJ Watt, other teams will hesitate to give up extreme draft capital for him, especially since he'll be a possible one-year rental player. Think a second and a fifth for him. Well, I don't think a team would trade for him if they're not going to get the contract extension done.
Well, I would look at it like, how close are we as a team? Like, if I'm a team that's pretty close, like let's say the Commanders or let's say the Buffalo Bills, like I'll take a one-year rental on TJ Watt, trade up some future draft capital because I know them that close and he could be that missing piece.
Totally agree with you.
That's how I would look at TJ Watt.
The problem now is that they've painted themselves into this corner in a number of different ways. They're going to have to pay him around, if not more, than what Myles Garrett got. Micah Parsons still up in the air. You don't know when that's going to drop and then how that'll affect the market.
What
and
about Trey Hendrickson? Like, what is
same thing?
What's his deal?
Great point.
You know, what's going on with him?
And if I'm the Bengals, I'm looking around and I'm thinking, okay, if you get Hendrickson or you get Watt, it's going to significantly improve your chances. But a lot of the teams at this point in the offseason have made all of their upgrades, and you're going to have less money to spend, and you've held on too long. Like, if the Steelers are going to trade TJ, they should have done it earlier in the offseason.
Yeah.
412-928-9370. I would have done it for a second and a fifth. I mean, I'm not sure that that's what it would have cost. Maybe you could have got more, but let's say it's a second and a fifth for next year. Now you've got a first, 2 seconds, 3 thirds. Now you're cooking with gas.
3 fifths.
And 3 fifths. 2 sixths. You got all kind of 2 fourths. And you're not going to make all those picks. Now you start packaging and you can really help your roster.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would have done. And I know that Art Rooney II has said that he wants T.J. Watt to be this one-helmet guy. Does it mean what it used to? Maybe it means more than it used to because guys move around so much. But I feel like as a sports fan, I'm okay with seeing some of my all-time favorite players finish out their careers elsewhere because we're so used to seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't invalidate his time as a Steeler because he finishes up his career someplace else. I just don't get it. You're doing it for sentimentality.
Not business.
Yeah. You're doing it for what? What, because Franco Harris finished out his career as a Seattle Seahawk and you never want to see that happen again? Like, who cares?
Right. T.J. Watt will go into the Hall of Fame as a Steeler, regardless if he won a Super Bowl somewhere else. I think he would go in as a Steeler.
And he'll be in the Hall of Honor.
Right.
I mean, I think of Rod Woodson. I mean, that is the example. What an all-time great. One of the best corners of all time. You see Ron Cook tweeting about it this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious to me. Ron hasn't tweeted in months, and then some account came out with the top 10 corners of all time. And I think it was Mel Blunt he was talking about, who wasn't on there. But I think Rod Woodson would belong on that list, too. He played for the damn Ravens. Yep. He won with the damn Ravens. Pittsburgh doesn't spontaneously combust when one of your great players goes someplace else and wins. It's just a stupid reason, I think, to pay a guy $40-plus million because you want him to retire a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Usually only do that with ones that have won a Super Bowl.
That's the other thing.
Like, if you were to make that argument, one helmet guy, like, yeah, you want to keep a guy around that has won a Super Bowl. Now, I could see Cam Hayward, to me, is in a different category than T.J. Watt of being a one helmet Steeler. He's, in a way, he's meant a lot more to the Steelers organization. I feel
Walter
like,
Payton, man of the year.
Right. Like, stuff like that. But usually that does, you know, coincide with winning a championship.
Well, and he just had one of the best seasons he's ever had. Whereas Watt down the stretch, I mean, he didn't play well. I think injury had a lot to do with it. What's with the sentimentality? We used to judge guys based on championships. And I think a reasonable argument could be made based on statistics and impact that T.J. Watt could be the best Steelers defensive player of all time. But Mean Joe Green won 4 championships. So he'll never even enter into the realm of that conversation.
No.
It'd be one thing if he were. Like, it'd be one thing if we were talking about Joe Green finishing out his career here. We're not.
Mm-mm.
We're talking about a guy who never won a playoff game. So what's the point? Pay him $40-plus million a year when his production's going to go down for a guy who's never won before. I think it's bad business. I think it's bad business that the Browns have done it. I mean, he's now the defensive version of Joe Thomas.
Yep.
Except he's at least won a playoff game.
But it's the Browns. You know, you expect them to do something like that.
Them keeping one of their all-time greats around, I guess, yeah, you know what? It does make some sense for them. Because what else are you giving those people?
You're right.
Right?
Right.
Okay, you didn't
Joe
win with
Thomas,
Myles Garrett, and he's gone.
A tackle and a rush end. That's all they're giving him.
Like, for them, I guess, yeah, it does make sense. He bent them over the barrel, and they caved, and they now get to keep... He's their best player since they came back into the league, right? It's either him or Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas. But I feel like it's just them, too. Like, who would be third?
Is it Chubb?
I don't think so. I don't know. Who would be their third?
Joel Batonio.
That's exactly what I was just about to say.
I mean, Josh Krebs was an all-pro returner.
Yeah.
It's few and far between, man.
Yeah.
So for them, all right, one helmet guy, stupid helmet without a logo, that makes sense. We got to keep fans happy some way because they know they're going to be bad this year. They were real bad last year. At least give them Myles Garrett, who's everybody's favorite dude who smacks dudes with helmets. But if you're the Steelers, shouldn't your eyes be on the prize? And the prize is winning a championship. And how are you? You cannot win without a quarterback. Use T.J. Watt to help you go get that quarterback. 412-928-9370. Someone texts in, he's not even as good as Jack Ham. Well, Jack Ham's going to get viewed favorably because he won championships.
He won a champion, right.
Like, we're talking about a guy who never won a championship. But this is also the same organization that retired Hines Ward, that retired Troy Polamalu. Now, those guys were fading late into their careers, but You know, Troy was miffed by it, the way that that all went down at the end. Alan Faneca, by the way, Hall of Famer. He finished his up career as a New York Jet. What makes T.J. Watt different? Alan Faneca opened a hole for the longest run in Super Bowl history, and he goes and gets paid a bajillion dollars by the Jets. What's T.J. Watt's standout play in the playoffs? What the fumble return against the Chiefs? Great. They lost by 30 points. Hey, who cares? And I love the guy. And he seems like a good man who has sacked a quarterback a bunch, tied the all-time NFL record for a single season in sacks, but spend $40 million plus on a guy who has been hurt at the end of each of the last two seasons, and it's going to be the law of diminishing returns. I think they've screwed the pooch on this, and there's no guess here. He's going to sign a long-term deal. The guess is how much it's going to cost, but by midway through training camp, he's going to have drag pen across paper, and it's going to be done. It's bad business. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. I was just lamenting the fact that Alan Faneca didn't get to be a one-helmet guy with the Steelers, but the Steelers, they need TJ to be a one-helmet guy. Faneca was a six-time All-Pro, and at 31, he walked to go to the Jets. TJ Watt is 31 right now, and they're going to make him the highest-paid defensive player in football. Now, someone texted in and said, Crowley, you're wrong. Faneca didn't wrap up his career with the Jets. And I totally blocked this out. He had a one-year stay with another NFL team. Do you know what it was? I did not know this, so I'm not going to pretend like I'm a genius because I know it now and you do not.
Man.
I totally blocked this out. Had no recollection of it.
Alan Faneca. I thought it was with the Jets, but...
He played 4 years with the Jets, and then his final year was 2010 with the... Arizona Cardinals.
Yep.
Totally blocked that out.
Forgot.
Had no recollection of that.
Huh. Makes sense, though. Because that was Steelers...
West,
yes.
Yeah, who else they wind up with? Larry Foote was out there.
Joey Porter.
Sean Morey.
And Joey Porter? Yeah, Joey Porter was there for like a year.
Did Joey Porter wind up in Arizona, too?
Was it Clark Hagans?
I'm on it.
One of them.
I think it was Clark Hagans.
Clark Hagans.
Yeah, Joey Porter, because he played in Miami. He
did play for a year, right?
Dorn, you got me again, yeah. Man. He played 2 years in Arizona.
Right.
Oh, my
and
God.
And Clark Hagans, too?
Well, I'm on that now. Look at this rabbit hole.
Pretty sure Clark Hagans.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He did. He played 4 years out in Arizona. Didn't have great numbers there, but yeah, played 4 years in Arizona. That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Might only be interesting to us. Why do I go Sean Morey, special teams ace?
Right.
All right, one last thing here to wrap up the show. Brett McMurphy has tweeted, because there's all this back and forth about the college football playoff expanding. He writes, a college football playoff format with five auto bids, power four conference champs in one group of six, plus rest of field filled with at-large teams, whether it's 12, 14, or 16-team field, has been proposed multiple times to Big Ten and SEC, sources said. Big Ten and SEC have proposed four auto bids for their leagues, two each for ACC and Big 12, one group of six, and three at large. I don't know how to feel about this, man.
Yeah.
If you had four auto bids, Alabama would have got in again last year. Now, the Big Ten already had four teams that made it last year, and it would have been the four that would have qualified anyhow, Oregon, Indiana, Penn State, and Ohio State. Four's a lot. I think four waters down the regular season considerably.
Yeah.
And I think you're still trying to find a way to keep the regular season as similar to what it was before while also having the expanded playoff. It's almost impossible to do it that way. But four seems like too much to me.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't mind the ACC and Big 12 getting two guaranteed spots for our local schools. Texter, didn't Mendenhall go to Arizona?
Yep.
James Conner obviously out there, but he's not a hanger-on at the end of his career. He's just played a lot of good football there.
Yep.
If you get,
there's one more.
There's definitely more. I'm sure people will text in. Wouldn't you, if you have four automatic qualifiers from each of those conferences, wouldn't you just get rid of the title game?
Yes.
Conference title game?
Exactly. What's the point?
Which I hate. I want the conference title games. Mm-hmm. I reserve to the fact that West Virginia is never going to win a national championship in my lifetime in football. It's just never going to happen. But they have a shot to win a Big 12 title, and I would celebrate as if they won the national championship. Keep that around for me. When Pitt beats Wake Forest a couple of years ago, that's as good as it gets, man.
So
it's awesome.
One of the two is the conference champion? Is what they're saying, or is it the conference champion plus two?
One of the two would be the conference champion.
So basically what happened this year.
And you'd have, I would think at that point, if you have a conference championship game, but the winner and the loser of the conference championship right. both get in, wouldn't you sit players? I think you probably would.
Probably.
Because if you win, great. It's just for seeding? Who cares? You're both guaranteed
you're
a spot.
In. Right.
Yeah, I don't want to see the end of the conference championship game. I like the conference championship game. But they don't care about what fans think, obviously. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Doran, we got back on the horse.
Yep.
We'll be better tomorrow. It'll be fun.
Yep.
Got Doug Whaley in from 9 o'clock until 10, Ray Fittipaldo, and our guy John Wehner at 8:35. Coming up next, you got Starkey and Pomp. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, a high of 68, low of 51, 55% chance of rain. Mark Caboli texts us. William Gay. Calvin Beecham. And that's how we'll end the show. Goodbye. To Shea Townsend. See you. That's it. We're done, Harry. You can hit the thing now.
Back on the horse.